All right. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome in to our discipleship class for this Sunday morning. We're glad that you're here, and good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been a busy week, but glad to be here where we can learn more about Him and grow closer to Him. And so we're glad you're here. Brother Kenny, would you go ahead and open us a prayer this morning?
Dear Lord, again, we do thank you that we can gather together and worship you and study your word and learn more about you, about how we should act, how we should serve you and do your will. And we ask you to help us do so, help us to have good services today, and always focus on you and serving you and doing your will. We pray these things in the name of the Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. All right. Well, this morning we're starting in on study number 5, and this morning is looking at the thought of studying the Word of God, and looking at your walk with God as a Christian, and who would like to start us off this morning and read 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 this morning. Ms. Martha, go ahead.
2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
All right. Thank you then, Ms. Martha. So the key part of that verse we want to focus on is that first half where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So after salvation, after we get saved, after we get born again, after we become a Christian, one of the most important things to the believer's life and to the believer's walk is our walk with God, is our life after salvation. So the first step of obedience after salvation, we saw a couple weeks ago, is baptism. Well, after that, it becomes, what is our walk with God like? And as you study the Bible, as you study different people in the Bible that will help you grow as a Christian, you'll continue to hopefully, Lord willing, increase your knowledge of God, increase your knowledge of Jesus Christ, increase your knowledge of the Holy Spirit, increase your knowledge just in general of the things of God. Now, you won't know everything in the Bible. There's nobody that knows absolutely everything that there is to know in the Bible. And that's the great thing about Christianity is that we're always learning. Brother Kenny? That's right. And that doesn't mean that it hasn't always been there. It just means that the Lord didn't have it for you at that particular time that you read it. And like Kenny said, you can read it the 10th time, and that 10th time you see and say, well, I never saw that before. Again, it doesn't mean that it wasn't there before. It's just as we grow, the Lord and the Holy Spirit starts to open more and more of the Word of God to us. And so you see in the Bible, Enoch, Noah, Levi, they were just a couple of the men and women in the Bible that tells us that they had a walk with God. And all three of them, consequently, they were used of God. And so if we ever want to be used of God in any sort of way, then we have to have a walk with God. Now, having a walk with God is not always easy. Having a walk with God is something you have to. It's kind of like, you know, if you know, you're kind of a heavy set person, right? And you're trying to lose some weight, and you're not going to just lose weight by osmosis. You have to put the work into it. You have to put the effort into it. And the same thing is true of the Word of God. The same thing is true of your Christian life. If you want to be what God has you to be, then you need to put effort into your walk with God. And but all three men were used of God. And those who study the Bible will also be used of God. You know, sometimes, you know, you study and you think, I know people like this, they think, well, you know, I can never serve God. I can never be a pastor. I can never be a Sunday school teacher. I can never be, a Christian school teacher. I can never be You know, you fill in the blank. But if you just will study your Bible with a surrendered heart and surrender your will to His will, then it doesn't matter, you know, what your perceived shortcomings are. It doesn't matter what your, you know, what the world says, you know, are your shortcomings. If you allow God to just use you, mold you, and take you and put and mold you into something that He can use, then He'll use you. Brother Kenny?
What you just said, what the world says are your shortcomings, but it's important to remember a lot of times we say we have the shortcomings.
Right.
But it's us that says we can't do it.
Right.
Or is scared to do it or whatever. If you let God take over, I mean, you could go from hardly saying two words to anybody to maybe coming in.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, so, and that's just the Lord right there, Miss Rose.
When I was in the Bible college, we had chaplains, and they would come and we would pray for some chaplain. And once in a while, they would have a guest speaker. And I remember this one guy, he had cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was after the school president in Houston, he made his way up to the pulpit. And when he preached the word of God, the Holy Spirit took over, and you did not hear the school president. You heard the man of God speak. And I'll never forget that. You just did.
Absolutely. That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's interesting. Growing up, I never liked giving oral reports in school. I never liked getting up in front of a group of people. Never liked it. And I saw a question on one of the pastor's groups I'm in on Facebook, and they said, describe what you do, how did they put it? Poorly describe what you do. And one of the pastors said, I prepare three book reports per week and present it. And that's what it feels like being a pastor sometimes. You know, you research and you prepare and you study and then basically you get up and you present an oral report to a group of people, and hopefully they get something out of it. What's that?
You can cite it.
Yeah, right? And, you know, so you say, what can cause somebody to do that? God, the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And He's what can take us and use us. So today, you know, sometimes we like to think, well, you know, we're sitting here, we're talking. You know, we're having a conversation, we're having a dialogue, and, you know, sometimes we like to think, well, why doesn't God have that discussion with us? How come He doesn't have that dialogue with us? And He doesn't have those type of conversations with us anymore, but He still does speak to us. And He speaks to us through His written word and through the Holy Spirit of God. And the Christian's fellowship and walk with God are very dependent upon the time that he spends in the Bible each day. And without a steady diet of the Bible, there's no way that we're going to grow spiritually as a Christian. You need to have the Word of God in your life. Miss Sandy? That's right. That's right. Because, you know, sometimes we think, well, it feels like God's gotten further away. Well, God hasn't moved. So who has moved? We've moved because we're not as close to Him as we should be. And so we see that this lesson hopefully will show the who, the what, the why, the when. See, book report terms. The who, the what, the why, the when, and how of studying the Bible. And so number one, what is Bible study? What is Bible study? Well, Bible study is necessary in order to be a well-rounded growing believer. Thank you. Just as a person goes to school or to knowledge to enhance or increase their knowledge to be prepared in his field of study, so too does a Christian study the Bible in order to grow in grace. You think of it this morning. What is a hammer to a carpenter? Or a wrench to a mechanic? What is the Bible and what it should be to the Christian? The Bible should be viewed the way the Thessalonians viewed it. Who'd like to read there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Katie?
For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
All right, and so we see there, and we want to focus kind of on that middle part where it says, he received the word of God, which he heard of us. You received it not as the word of men. And that's very important to note, by the way. When a pastor gets up to preach, or a missionary gets up to preach, or an evangelist, or any guest preacher, and he's preaching the Bible, he's not preaching his words. He's preaching God's words. He's preaching the Lord's words. And so, you know, sometimes the pastor might get up and preach something that steps on your toes. It might... it might hit you the wrong way or something, and you might find yourself getting mad at it. Just remember, you're not getting mad necessarily at the preacher. You're getting mad at the Bible. You're getting mad at the Holy Spirit. That's right, because, and you know, we call that when you feel yourself, you know, getting stirred or getting angry or upset or feel it working or something else. You know, the Bible calls that conviction, and you must have a response to that. But you receive the word of God, which he heard of us. You received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. And so that's who it is, the word of God. And the Bible is the inspired, and that's what inspired means. It means God-breathed word of God. Who'd like to read there? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Ms. Martha, go ahead. All right, and so we see there, it's inspired, it's God-breathed. And that word profitable means that it's good. It's good for us. And so we want to see several things what the Bible is this morning. Number one, it's a source of spiritual growth. It's a source of spiritual growth. And so, you know, just as eating regularly, and I'm sure we can all relate, we like to eat around here, don't we? Yes, and we enjoy eating, we enjoy feasting, we enjoy, you know, sometimes sometimes some of us, we live to eat, you know. Yep, Miss Rose is eating, Haley's eating, Neil was eating, you know, we love to eat. And just as eating regularly will help you grow physically, strengthen you, give you energy, give you excitement and everything you need to do to accomplish the tasks that are set out before you in any given day. The Word of God, the Bible, and reading it regularly will help you grow spiritually. Who'd like to read there? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Michaela, go ahead, sweetheart.
But growing grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
All right, and so there we see. It will help us grow spiritually. It's a source of spiritual growth. Number one, it's the bread. It's the bread. Who'd like to read there? Matthew 4:4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. Neil, go ahead.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
All right. And so we see there, we won't live by bread alone, but by what? Every
word
that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so number one, the Bible is bread. Then number two, we see the Bible is milk. The Bible is milk. Who'd like to read there? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. Kenny?
It says,
right. And then it's also meat. It's also meat. Who'd like to read there? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. What's that? Oh, milk. Oh, yeah, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk. That second one, milk is milk. And then who'd like to read there? Meat. Hebrews 5, 12. Katie, go ahead.
For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat.
All right, and so we see there, that last fill in the blank is what there?
Me.
And so now, here's the progression. As a Christian who's growing spiritually, when you first get saved, you start off with the milk of the Word of God. You start off with the basics. That's what it means there, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And so as you have the milk, as you feed a baby milk, the baby grows, it becomes mature, it starts to grow stronger, and then after it has milk, well, then you can give it some bread. And that's a little bit more deeper. That's a little bit more in depth. And then, as they are able to handle the bread a little bit better, then you can give them the meat of the Word. And when we talk about the meat, we're talking about the 70 weeks of Daniel. We're talking about the book of Revelation. We're talking about Bible prophecy. We're talking about things still yet to come when Jesus himself comes back. But now, there in Hebrews chapter 5, you notice it says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. What was happening here was that they were thinking themselves spiritually mature. And Paul, who we believe to be the writer of Hebrews, he says, no, you're not quite there yet. You have to be retaught the first principles and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So there are some that they're not yet ready for the strong meat. They're not yet ready for the deeper things of the Word of God. But we see it's a source of spiritual growth. But then secondly, it's a search to know God. It's a search to know God. The closer a Christian is to God, the more that Christian will be like Him. The more they'll be like God. In fact, Christian, the word Christian means little Christ. We're to be more like Christ every single day. And God promised us that if His children would draw close to Him, He would draw close to them. James 4:8 tells us that. And so truly this morning, the Bible is God's Word. John 1:1 explains it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so the more a person reads the Bible, the better you will know God. You're not going to be able to know God if you don't know His book, if you don't know His words. It's like going to IKEA and buying a piece of furniture and trying to put it together without reading the instruction manual. You're going to have screws left over. You're going to have parts left over. It's probably going to be lopsided. Why? Because we didn't read the instruction manual. And then we come to church. We become Christians. And we say, man, I don't really know God. Well, are you studying the Bible and reading the Bible to better know Him? You know, you've heard me say it any number of times. If you're relying on what you get at church, you know, 1, 2, 3 times a week, then you're going to spiritually starve. Because it's like, could you live on one meal a week? Could you live on, yeah, right? That made Joe tremble just thinking about it.
Okay. One good meal.
Yeah, right. You know, it's like talking about when you're on death row. What's going to be your last meal, and or two meals or three meals? You know, it's recommended you have 3 meals a day. Now they recommend 3 meals a day and then snacks in between. And so it's like breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner, snack. Then you get up at midnight snack. And then if you get up before that, it's pre-breakfast snack. And you know, it just keeps on going. So we can't survive on just 3 meals spiritually a week. We need to be constantly in the Bible. Ms. Rose?
And if you're a diabetic, the doctor recommends that you graze, not go on the farm, just to watch the cows. They graze. They didn't eat all the ones. They ate a little bit
throughout the day. Right. You know, I'll freely admit this. I think I've read the Bible through fully, maybe once or twice in my life, because I can't sit down. You know, we give out the Bible reading schedules at the beginning of every year, and that just doesn't work for me. I can't sit down and just, you know, so, okay, well, check off this box today, then check off this box tomorrow, and that, I can't do that. And so I read a little bit of what I'm preparing for sermons, then I, you know, read a little bit of this book or that book, and then you know, then I start rabbit trailing, and that's how I get my Bible reading in. Squirrels. And what's that?
Good squirrels.
Yeah, squirreling. And Ms. Rose?
Yeah, I was told that. Okay. When cow grazes, they actually shed some cud.
Right. Exactly.
Meditating.
That's right.
So when I think of a cow, I think about she grazes and then she meditates on what she ate. She's chewing the cud. So we're chewing the cud of the Word of God over and over again.
That's right. Absolutely. Ms. Sandy?
Some people like, oh, I've read the Bible two or three times. Like, maybe you have, but you don't read it like a book.
Right.
You can't read it like a book. You read a chapter and then you have to dwell on it.
That's right.
Like her, you have to keep chewing on the word.
That's right.
Get what the Holy Spirit wants you to see.
That's right.
I have a girl that I've been witnessing to for years, and she tells me, and it drives me crazy. Oh, I said, you don't have to give up on it. She'll say to me, I don't need the Bible. I read it once, and it's not for me.
That's right.
I mean, it's not for you.
Yeah.
Say, oh, my God.
That's right. Brother Kenny?
Well, one of the problems with that is a lot of people.
That's right. Yeah. Because the Bible tells us in, I think it's Corinthians, that the Bible is spiritually discerned. And that's why, you know, when I see people online on Facebook or on Twitter or, you know, whatever, and they're giving opinions on the Bible, and they're atheists or they very clearly don't believe in God. And I'm thinking, well, you can't give an opinion on the Bible because you... You're not saved. They're blinded. That's right. And so I've gotten into my fair of arguments online. And at the end of the day, I just realized, okay, you're not going to change anybody's mind, but...
We're going to give it to God. He can take it.
That's right. And, but, yeah, I can't, you know, I can't just, you know, take a, you know, a schedule and, you know... And what it becomes is, it becomes more of... Instead of meditating on the Bible, instead of seeing what it has for you, it just becomes, okay, here's my daily task, check it off the box. And I encourage you, at one point in your life, you should read the Bible once all the way through in a year. There's challenges out there. You know, there's challenges out there. You can read the Bible through in 30 days. You can read the Bible through in 6 months to do it twice in a year. So you, it can be done, but what is the reason you're doing it? Neil?
You can't read.
What?
You can't read.
There's help out there.
I listen to all drive them.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be amazed how much you listen to while you're driving.
Yeah, you can pull up audio versions of it.
Yeah. I'll get a page to it now.
There's one fella, and he has a nice, soothing voice, Alexander Scorby.
Can we get an Australian one?
You can
Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg reads the Bible?
I keep getting advertisements on Facebook about it.
Miss Sandy?
You know how everybody talks about patience with Job?
Yeah.
One time I sat down, I didn't want to read Job because I wanted to digest it.
Right.
But that's a good book to read. Oh, my goodness. When I was there, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
You
It
yeah.
was unreal how much I learned from reading that
Yeah, because
book.
A lot of people, we know chapter one.
Yeah.
And we know the end of Job where he gets everything back twofold.
Yeah. But it's what's in between.
What's in between.
Yeah, the dash in between. It's like,
that's right.
Oh my goodness.
That's right. Kayla?
In some of my college classes, we have to read like minor prophets, for example.
Yeah.
And when I was reading through those, I learned things. Like, I read things that I did not see in there before.
Exactly.
Even though I've read it before. I'm like, I didn't see this before. How did I not see it before?
Right. Yeah. Yes. And same thing with Chronicles, 1st and 2nd. Now, when you get into 1st and 2nd Chronicles, even Matthew do a little bit. There's a lot of genealogies and a lot of names you can't pronounce. There's a lot of names in there I can't pronounce. And you say, yeah. And you say, well, what's the point of all this? Well, in Chronicles, the genealogies are there to show us where Christ came from so that you can show where he came from. Exactly. And so.
Trying to stop them all the way.
Yeah.
Jacob's always there trying to stop the
lineage. Absolutely.
Okay, I got
you. That's right. Yeah. That's right. And so we see there that the more a person reads the Bible, the better we're going to know God. Who'd like to read there John chapter 8 and verse 31?
I have a question.
Yeah.
So you're talking about at the end of the year, you do like a yearly course, like how to read it?
Yeah.
Is that based on like timeline or something, or just
like the Bible reading schedule?
Yeah.
Oh no, that it just starts at Genesis and takes you right through Revelation.
You can do timeline.
I have a chronological one that I'm trying to get.
Yeah. In front of my Bible, it has a quote where it says like morning you read like Matthew 1, evening you read Genesis, and like goes through like different things.
Yeah.
Take you through Old Testament.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing. Yeah, it's the one we give out. It gives you an Old Testament reading for the day, a New Testament reading, and then it gives you a poetry book, which is Psalm and Proverbs.
Yes.
And so, Ms. Rose? Absolutely. All right. Who'd like to read there John chapter 8 and verse 31? Miss Sandy?
Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
All right. And so we see there, if you what?
Continue.
And so again, if we want to better know God, we have to continue in his word. Page 2 there of your paper, Isaiah 55:6, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, the truth is that we have a very limited time to find the Lord. We have a very limited time to draw near unto him. And that's, this verse is talking a lot about salvation and dealing with the lost because they have just a very finite amount of time before they can get saved, before they can become Christian. There's a song in our songbook we sing, Almost Persuaded, talking about King Agrippa. You know, he told the Apostle Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And that's the saddest verse in all the Bible. Yeah. To be almost a Christian is to be fully lost. And so seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Proverbs 2:5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So the more you understand or read the Bible, the more you're going to reverence God. That's what that word fear means, reverence God, and find the knowledge of God. And so we see this morning the Bible is a source of spiritual growth. It's a search to know God. And then thirdly, and finally for this morning, it's a sword to combat the devil. It's a sword to combat the devil. And the only weapon that we have to fight the devil on a day-by-day basis is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible, which is the Word of God. Now, you can read this when you go home, but Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. When Satan came to tempt Christ, there in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus answered all three temptations with this phrase, "It is written." So even Christ himself, he used the Bible, he used the Word of God to make Satan flee. What's that? That's right. That's right, yeah. That's right. So he was using himself to draw him away. That's right. Who would like to read there Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17? Ephesians 6, 17. Miss Rose? All right, so we see there, take the helmet of salvation and the what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of what?
God.
Which is the word of God. And then we see, who'd like to read there? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Final scripture for this morning. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Katie, go ahead.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
All right, so we see there the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged what?
Sword.
Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a what?
Discerner
of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible tells us the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? God can know it. The Bible can know it. The Bible shows us things about ourselves sometimes we don't necessarily like or care for. But, you know, when you wake up on any given day, you go to work, you go to school, you go to the grocery store, you go shopping. If you're a Christian, Satan is going to try and come against you. The Bible tells us that he is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to, as a Christian, he wants to get you tripped up. He wants to get you living a backslidden life. He wants to get you off of the Christian walk and off of the off of your walk with God. You say, how do I combat Satan? How do I get him behind me? The Word of God. You know, get thee behind me, Satan. And the thought just came and it just went. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Miss Rose?
I was told once that if you're a mediocre Christian and you're not saved, if you're not trusting the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be alive. But once you
That's right. And the devil, he wants to, you know, do his best to just trip you up. And if he can trip you up, then he'll do that. But he doesn't have to. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think that's the book of James.
There's also a verse where the Lord is talking to Peter, and the Lord tells Peter that
Satan has desired to have you, but I prayed for you.
That's right.
So there's that too.
That's right. And so we don't, you know, we don't have to give place to the devil. We don't have to give place to Satan. And sometimes we say, well, the devil made me do it. That's giving too much credit to the devil. If we sin and if we slip and we fall and we mess up, it's because we wanted to sin. It's because we wanted to mess up. It's because we wanted to give in momentarily to the flesh. And so don't give Satan that much credit. He's not that powerful. You can resist him if you'll just bathe yourself in the Word of God. And so now that's what Bible study is. Next week, we'll look at why do Bible study and then how to do Bible study. Because not a lot of people know how to do the Bible studies. And it's a lot simpler than we think. And we'll see that next week. But any questions before we close this morning? All right, let's pray. And we'll be dismissed this morning.